as we take a look back on 2023 from an AURI standpoint, what do you see as some of the highlights?
Yeah, we had a really good year at AURI in 2023. We kept busy as usual as an organization, working on over 220 projects throughout the year. Those, you know, ranging from events to initiatives to you know, private one-on-one business relationship projects that we had. You know, through that work done, we helped generate over $262 million in new annual sales for the people that we worked with over that time period, right? So really helping to expand markets and new products and opportunities for agricultural derived products across the state and across the region. Also helped with investments of over $148 million in new capital that companies put in that we helped de-risk through some of the work that we did with them. And of course, supporting jobs in rural areas and across the state and the region of about 450 jobs. So we're pretty proud of those impact numbers that we helped generate and supported the agricultural economy throughout Minnesota, right, and across the region. And then we did a fair amount of convenings and events and right brought people together to talk about different opportunities that we look forward around, and just making sure that we're getting those ecosystem partners together so that they can help create those relationships that can help move ideas forward. So all in all, those were a few of the big highlights that we had throughout the year. So it was a good year for AURI.
When I look at your report, it seems like a lot of the focus is on a couple different areas, food certainly, and some of that bio-based type of efforts. Tell me about those two focuses, Shannon.
Yeah, we have kind of consolidated what we've done throughout the years. We used to have four areas that we called as our focus areas. We've reduced that to these two big categories, right, of food and bioindustrials. And when we think about food overall, it covers our typical food client work or food projects as well as our meat science team. So a little bit that happened for us on the food side this year is we have three people that really focus on food. We have a couple of food scientists and a business development manager. And, you know, they're active day in, day working with food entrepreneurs and food businesses on how do they scale their products and move them forward, helping on food safety questions that they have in terms of getting their products to the marketplace, shelf life that they look at as well in terms of, you know, how does their product weather over time in terms of being acceptable to the consumer, as well as the food safety piece there, and then nutrition facts panels, which are critical to being on the shelf and right the needs that are required for different market opportunities, you know, and that can range anywhere from moving them to retail, to getting the school lunch programs where we help, to scaling up their recipes that they might have from you know, volume to weight measurements. And we've just seen a lot of growth in this area. When I look back to when the cottage food law changed in Minnesota, I think, you know, back in maybe 2015, there were around 450 cottage food licenses, and today there's over 7,300. So it's really just ballooned in terms of the needs that we're seeing across our food team to work with entrepreneurs on those basic needs, because a lot of them don't have a food science background. And then on the meat side, we've added two meat scientists, and we've cooperated with the USDA Ag Marketing Service on a number of projects related to local and regional meat processing. And that's been anywhere from helping them get ready for financing, right, and how do they talk to the bank in terms of their financial needs, to doing a pilot benchmarking for their business operations and looking at the key variables and, right, what can they learn from others, and is there something that we could do there in terms of helping that business viability for our local and regional meat processors? And then we've looked at everything from cold storage assessments to putting on short courses and just a lot of work and needs that they've looked at the new opportunities there. And then we were named as one of seven regional national centers, I should say, for USDA AMS on providing technical assistance for their different programs that they have to support local and regional meat processing. So lots of work going on the food side. And then if we switch to bioindustrials, a lot of that work is looking at the feed, fiber side and fuel of our ledger of the work that we do. And I look at some of the major things that we've done on the bioindustrial side this year is some additional work in fermentation where we've added capacity to look at different feedstocks and how that fits into either creating bio-based products or how does it work into the ethanol industry in terms of another starch source, to our work in industrial hemp that we continue to move forward. We had a really interesting project this past year with MnDOT and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture and looking at hemp fibers into erosion control mats and also into hydromulching, so that they could be used on road construction sites and remove plastic from those types of applications. And then our big area that we've really seen a lot of interest in the last couple of years has been anaerobic digestion. And that's really looking at renewable natural gas and different feedstocks and what is their biomethane potential. And then what is the digestate coming out of that? So we've added analytical equipment to look at analyzing those feedstocks. And then we actually have a semi-trailer-sized anaerobic digester to do scale-up work to see how that moves, transitions from the lab right to more of a, not a full commercial setting, but just seeing how that changes as we look at larger volumes and moving that forward. So those are just a handful of things that we've done across that bioindustrial sector as well.
When you look at those, obviously broad terms, but when you try and find like individual success stories out of there that you can point to, are there some that come top of mind, Shannon?
Yeah, I think of we highlight several of them in our annual report in terms of some of the work that we've done. I think of working with several clients to get them into the school lunch program from the food side and helping them scale. Helping them understand what is safe quality food designation and getting certified and just looking at different ways that they look at ingredients and move that forward. So I know we mentioned Hoyo in there in terms of Sambusa, Cannonballs in our report. How we help them transition from their small retail to get to school lunch to have a bigger market, a different market channel, diversify some of their risk that they have. And I think I mentioned the hemp control, hemp erosion control blankets and mulching. That was a really interesting study in terms of thinking about, what are some new uses as we try to move the hemp industry forward from a fiber market, as we have seen that move from CBD. And then what does that mean for some of the local businesses that, can produce those types of materials in terms of having a new product or a new opportunity that we could see there. And I would just add from the renewable natural gas piece and anaerobic digestion, there's just a lot of activity and feasibility work going on. And we just see a lot of companies that are looking for some answers to questions that they have and a lot of activity in terms of how we look at the feasibility of those, pretty large capital investments to make sure that they work and that they we de-risk as much as possible for making those contributions to the agricultural economy.
AURI certainly at the cutting edge. Crystal ball me. What do you see as we look down the road here in the next, say, 5 years?
Yeah, so we do like to look around corners and see what's coming next. One of the areas that we've been spending a lot of time on is hydrogen in terms of its applications for the agricultural industry here. And a lot of that is looking at, what are different carriers for hydrogen. So we've worked with Minnesota Corn on a project of looking at ethanol to hydrogen in terms of can ethanol be a hydrogen carrier and utilize that infrastructure as we think about that transition. The work going on around green ammonia and green urea is really fascinating when we look at the feedstocks that we have available here in the region, from renewable energy with wind and solar to the carbon dioxide that comes off ethanol plants to create local fertilizers. That would be a lower carbon intensity and help with some of the new programs that we're seeing for sustainable aviation fuel and renewable diesel. So we've been spending time scoping that out, looking at the feasibility, what pieces need to come together, and how do we help de-risk some of those types of investments as well. And then we've been spending a lot of time on, I'd say, protein sustainability as well and looking at what are needs or feed ingredients or alternative feed ingredients to, what supplements can you move through fermentation and biological processes, And I think that whole area is just pretty intriguing when you look at the work that is being done and the interest in carbon intensity and opportunities for producers in that space as well. The work with BioMade here in terms of the investment they're making on a scale-up fermentation site also is just a really interesting new opportunity of how do we look at different feedstocks that we produce from the agricultural landscape and then convert those into higher value molecules and higher value bio-based building blocks right overall. So when we look around the country, what was lacking in that space was a scale-up facility, and the investment that's being made in Minnesota here in the future for that type of work will be, I think, helpful in putting this area in the lead for those types of opportunities and really looking at some creative ways to add value to our agricultural feedstocks that we produce here. The last thing that I would add is that if anybody has an innovative idea or has been thinking about new markets or different opportunities, just to reach out and get in touch with us, auri.org. And we've got a team of about 35 people around the state that are, you know, look forward to having those conversations and seeing what's possible, what's feasible, and how we can create some commercial activity together to drive new markets for our agricultural products.